Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's our go-to, and no one else is close. When it involves legal matters in the state of Minnesota, he's speaking to us on a yacht with undisclosed royalty throughout the world. We cannot tell you where he is. That's part of the agreement we have with Joe Freeberg as he joins us. Are you much of a yachtsman? Or do you like to get out on the water at all, Joe?
I have such a difficult time, Chad, choosing which of my yachts to use.
Sure. Yep.
Sometimes I'll stand on the dock for like an hour, hour and a half,
sure,
trying to choose which yacht to use, and it ends up and
understand.
The weather goes bad and I never get out. I just don't have that decision-making process, Chad.
Have you considered naming one of your yachts Chad?
I thought about it and rejected it.
Yeah. Listen, I know that feeling. Many people thought about spending time with me and they've rejected it too, and I can't fault them most of the time. Glad to have you on board as always, sir. We've talked about this. I think this is probably the third or fourth time that we've talked about the possibility of a change of venue. And you talked right away. You raised it with us. You said how difficult it would be, how rare it is. It received a lot of conversation in court yesterday. When this trial finally begins, will it take place in Hennepin County?
I think the odds are it will, Chad. As I told you before, the venue in Minnesota is very, very difficult, and they have a history in the metropolitan area since they have such a large jury pool of believing that they will get 12 fair people, or in this case, probably 15 or 16. But in this case, there's also another problem. The first problem is a joint or separate trials for these people, and they're wanting and considering live TV. If you try one first alone, I don't know how you could ever try a second one, because how are people going to put out of their mind what they saw on television? It's a very difficult problem, and state presumptions are against joint trials. Not only that, I don't think there's a courtroom big enough in Hennepin County to hold four defendants and the supporting cast that's going to be here for this one.
Well, I heard you with Dan yesterday make that same point, that when you just look at what Hennepin County has to offer and the buildings, would that in any way be another justification for getting the case out of Hennepin County? But then what other county would have the ability to have the right facilities to do it?
You know, there's a difference between people who have heard about the case and people who have been impacted by the case. Now, that's one of the problems in Hennepin County. There's going to be an awful lot of possible jurors that have been personally impacted by the case. But I don't know what good it would do to change it to St. Paul. My guess is, and all this is a guess, is that Judge Cahill will start trying to draw a jury in Hennepin County, go one by one, and see if he can seat what people agree is a fair jury. Going to be difficult, going to go through a lot of potential jurors, but there is sufficient population in Hennepin County. People can't understand just how difficult it is to move a case out of the metropolitan area. These judges are very comfortable where they are. They don't like to go anywhere else. And we have a restricted number of places that they could go anyway for a trial like this. There's Duluth, Rochester, Moorhead, St. Cloud. Other than that, I don't know where there's a sufficient population base.
Do you think it should be easier to move trials out of Hennepin County?
Oh, I don't think it's really been difficult to get a jury that you consider to be fair in Hennepin County. It's also the most diverse county in the state. So I think it's going to end up being tried here. It's going to be difficult. It's going to take a long time to get a jury. And if, in fact, these are separate trials, I think something else might have to happen for the one that goes second. I assume they'd try Chauvin first.
Yep.
Especially since two of the others are already out of custody. And it's a big problem. Judge Cahill fired a warning shot across the prosecution's bow yesterday by saying, quit talking about this. You might push me into having to change the venue, which I can assure you he does not want to do.
Okay, speaking of talking, Earl Gray has come out with me many times. You've cited Earl Gray as a colleague. Earl's talked multiple times, sometimes to be blunt, Joe, in baffling terms. I thought you probably understood the logic. I missed it. Is Earl helping his client when he's talking?
I think so. If you think public opinion means anything, there are a lot of people who have heard the other side from Earl, and he wouldn't ordinarily do this, but the publicity being as overwhelming as it is for the prosecution, I think that in this case, it's called for, since it's clear what his defense is going to be, and that is that, A, I didn't know where I was down at his feet. It seemed to me to be a good idea. I suggested to my superior officer twice that we turn him over. He turned me down. In addition to that, Earl's client tried to give the guy CPR when he was being loaded and after he'd been loaded into the ambulance, which certainly shows he had no intent to kill him. So I think Earl's put his defense out there, since that's what his defense is going to be, along with a few other technical things. In this case, I think he was a pretty good idea to do it. And I did get calls from our brethren around the country saying, you think that was a good thing to do? Because very rarely does a defense lawyer do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was called for.
So we had a guest earlier who was reacting to Randy Furst's story in the Trib about how rare it is, seemingly, for cops to step in on cops, especially in this case when it's younger officers and a superior officer. That same story pointed out where Chief Arredondo says, I don't care how long you've been in the force, you got to step in. And you just talked about it. That's part of what Earl is going to cite. What's your gut on how that would play with the judge and jurors when we've watched this gruesome video and it seems to go on and on and on? We thought at one point 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and then it's 7 minutes and 46 seconds. It's a part of the policy with the Minneapolis police that you have to follow it. We do know in life at times it's not the easiest to step in and tell your supervisor what you're doing is wrong. It's just rare where any of us are dealing with that challenge where you have to step in because somebody might die right in front of your eyes.
Well, I think that that's going to be a question of fact for the jury, and it's going to the it will go to the intent of Officers Lane and King. Officer Lane, maybe a little bit more. You know, there's a movie called Training Day, which kind of tees up the issue for you about do you go against your superior officer? And it's a question the jury is going to consider. It's clearly going to be an issue in the case. And I have no idea how they're going to decide it, but it certainly is a big issue. And remember, what Lane and King are doing, what they are charged with and what they might be convicted of are things that arise out of their state of mind. What were they thinking? And so the issue of what we used to call the Gestapo defense, I was just filing, following orders, is going to be prevalent in this case, I would expect. I mean, they're going to have other defenses as well.
Yeah,
that's going to be the primary defense.
If you mention Chauvin, you believe will most likely go first. Isn't that an automatic, or am I wrong to think it's an automatic that he would go first?
No, it's not automatic, but I think he will.
If you were defending him, from what you know, how would you try to do it?
Well, I'd go to the autopsy and say that there is no objective evidence that he cut off any airflow on this man. The first thing you do is you throw out Baden's autopsy. In my way of thinking, it's worthless because Baden had neither the toxicology results, nor did he have the tissue samples from the neck. You got to remember that there's no bruising at the neck. There's no broken hyoid bone. There's no petechiae behind the eyes. Those are all objective signs of strangulation. Then what you have to do is you go to the tissue samples from the neck to see if there's force on the capillaries. Apparently, there is no evidence of force on the capillaries. You can almost make the statement that there really is no evidence anyplace that the man's breathing was cut off by pressure on his neck. Dr. Baden, if I'm a defense lawyer, I can't wait for Dr. Baden to testify because I'll have him under cross for 3 or 4 hours and destroy his ability to come up with a diagnosis in this case. He hadn't seen the tissue sample and he hadn't seen the toxicology.
This, again, is the individual, well-known, who the Floyd family hired themselves to perform the autopsy.
And he stated, I haven't seen these things, so I can't be sure. His diagnosis will be, if they call him, and I can't believe that the prosecution's going to call him because he's extremely cross-examinable in this case.
What do you think the timeline is for this case to actually happen?
Well, I think Judge Cahill is going to try to make a trial go on the trial date that's set. I don't know if he'll be successful or not. Who knows what's going to happen with this COVID?
Right.
It's pretty clear that Chauvin should go first, being in custody like he is. Because he has to be indulged in the presumption of innocence. So at this point, you've got an innocent man doing time. And the other two of the others are out, and I think the third one is still in.
What's the likelihood that any of the other officers come to some agreement and don't go to trial before Chauvin goes to trial?
I think they'd have to be given immunity, and the most difficult part of it is they, unless their lawyers are asleep, they'd have to get federal immunity as well.
And Ben Crump is even talking today about the inevitability of a civil rights case on the federal level. How soon will that happen?
They'll generally wait for the conviction for that to happen, but certainly they're going to sue when they're going to get a monstrous amount of money. Remember the Noor case was settled by the state for by the city by $20 million. But in that case, part of the settlement was the city was going to undertake a process to do away with these types of things. And apparently $20 million didn't do it. So this time we're probably talking 40 or 50 million.
Right. Exactly. What are you doing for the fourth?
Hopefully I got a horse running in New Jersey and I can watch it on television.
Nice. How's the horse?
Other than that, not much.
How's the horse doing so far?
Well, he's happy. He's getting fed.
Yeah.
And he counts on me to pay the bill every month.
Yeah, he definitely is.
We have a close personal relationship. I'm not going to have any grand horses by him because we took care of that rather early in his
life. I bet he didn't appreciate that. Ouch.
I don't think he really realizes what happened.
Oh, that's easy for you to say, Joe.
Yeah, right.
I think he felt going back to Dan. I think he wasn't happy.
I mean, I can't imagine he was throwing a party, but
no.
Joe, we like to say they're happier now.
Sure. If Tiz the Law wins all three legs of the Triple Crown, is that the same as a previous Triple Crown?
There'll always be discussion about it, but. Yeah, I think it's just as much of a challenge, but it's a different challenge.
Yeah.
He's got a longer period of time to get hurt.
Or recover, and, right?
Well, if he gets hurt with anything that's at all seriousness, he's not going to go any further because you're not going to risk his stud value. But
yeah. You would.
This is good horses get hurt.
Yeah, too many times. Have a great 4th. We'll talk soon, sir.
Hey, by the way, how's your dad?
You know, he's bored out of his mind, and it gives me some pause, Joe. It really does. Throughout his life, wake up and go to 17 places. And now he wakes up and he goes for a drive a little bit. And I go over and try to talk to him from 8-10 feet. Nothing could stop him, but this COVID pandemic has slowed him down.
But you can imagine how big a part of our lives sports are, but nothing compared to
correct.
Him.
Yes.
My Lord.
And just the social interaction he misses.
Yeah.
So much. Yeah. So I appreciate you asking, Joe.
Tell him I say hello and wish him well. And for his benefit, we need something to start.
Absolutely. I will do that. Have a great 4th. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We are lucky to have him on. Joe Freeberg here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.